Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook question and answer podcast for round one of the NRL Supercoach season. Very, very exciting times ahead as we lock in our teams to kick off the season with the split round one of 2024. Big episode today. I'll go a little bit longer because there are so many questions coming through, naturally being the biggest week of the year. So we'll get stuck pretty well straight into it. Of course, on this episode, I'll touch on my final team as well, some sit v starts, captains, all those good things. Pardon me. I've also just eaten the world's hottest Tom Yum soup, which I don't even know if it's meant to be hot. But if you hear an implosion in the background, that would be my head. But hopefully we get through it. All right, enough of that out of the way. Let's get into it. Tyson Jones for first question. Morning, mate. I currently have Sully over RTS. I do have the funds to go up to RTS if I change my mind. I don't feel great about not having RTS, but I have a feeling, I have a gut feeling about Sully. Am I crazy? Thanks, mate, as always. Look, for me, it's RTS. Definitely the man. He's currently snuck his way into my side as well. I've freed up some cash, and I'll get to how I've done that shortly. But I like what I saw from RTS. I don't love the whole stuck on the left, not stuck on the left edge thing, but playing on the left edge, the less favoured edge of the Warriors. But look, I saw enough in those trials to think that he's starting at value and there's potential to be a season-long keeper, of course, in RTS. If he does spend any time, whether it be at fullback or if he's roaming around the field, he just looks like a great pickup in my mind. All that being said, Moses Sully, I mean, back your gut. I say it time and time again. When people have a gut feel, if I completely don't agree with it, I'll go hard and say, look, not for me at all. But like Sully, from what we saw in the trial, the game against the Tigers, he looked so destructive. He looked so fit. And to his credit, Flanner used him really well, brought him under a couple of times. They have a decent draw to start the year, the Dragons. So there's no reason why he can't be a great pod to start the season. I'd be going in the way of RTS, but no knock on Sully at all for me. I should also mention these questions coming via the SC Playbook subscriber WhatsApp group, the team advice thread there. So we've got a heap of them. So as I said, let's continue on with it. Question from Rob. Hey, mate, starting to worry about Sean Lane and Helam Lukey in minutes. Which setup would you prefer? So before I get to your option A versus option B, I'm expecting Lukey to play probably 60 minutes. I'm thinking Fini Firiaki probably plays 20 on the edge. He could get 65 to 80, but at a guess, particularly early season, I reckon 60. I'm happy with Lukey at 60 minutes because I think he's a gun and I think there can be some attacking stats in that time. But yes, look, it is a concern. Sean Lane, also a mystery. Kelma Tuolungi was really impressive in the trial and played on Lane's left edge. So there is a chance that Tuolungi plays, comes on and spells Lane for a bit. If I was guessing, I'd say Lane plays 60 minutes, potentially even 55. Look, it wouldn't one bit surprise me if Lane gets 80. That's just my guess, 55 to 60, in which case it becomes a concern at his starting price with some great mid-range options elsewhere. I'm going to just, I'm not going to say roll the dice, because I still think Lane scores well if he plays 60 minutes. I still think he, at worst, holds his value. He's got so much attacking upside that he can still score very well and make cash. If he's only playing 60 minutes, he just becomes, you know, no real chance of being a keeper. But I'm going to go Lane. Anyway, you've said Cotter, Lane, and Lukey versus Nicara, Flegler / Lolo, and Fini Fuiaki. Fine would be an NPR, non-playing reserve. Definitely option A, mate. Like, of those two, so much better. Nicara is an awesome footballer. He was a gun supercoacher last year. I know he's a super pod to start the year, but he's priced, you know, close enough to his peak to start the season. So I just think, I don't see any value in him at 710K off a 70-point average. So yeah, mate, option A by a mile. Good question from Brady Carroll around the all-important hooking spot. Why doesn't basically the only 80-minute hooker being Brayley at the Sharks, Blake Brayley that is, of course, get any relevance? Would he not be a set and forget without having to worry about minutes? I mean, that's the thing, mate. He's played 80 minutes for as long as I can remember. He's always been an 80-minute hooker, and for that reason I admire him so much. But on the other note is, where's the improvement in him? Like, he's 579K, which is a fine price, and I'm not knocking starting with Brayley because, as you said, he'll play his 80, he goes hard, there's a bit of attack in him, but, like, again, he's averaged 80 minutes the last three seasons or near enough, 57 points last year, 59 in 2022, 49 in 2021. So, you know, he needs a lot of attacking stats to make any value, to be starting as any value. I don't see really what changes in Brayley unless he finds those attacking stats. So not for me personally, and particularly not in the context of your question, but at the same time, it doesn't make him a bad buy. I just don't see him as sort of any value to start the season. Whereas I look at someone like Api Korosau, what's changed? He's kicking goals this season, so that's a major factor. What's changed with Jeremy Marshall-King? Also a pretty big minute hooker, and he was injured all last season. So if he's fully fit and firing, you know, there's upside there as well. Question from Brandon. Who should I choose for my last reserve? Chan, Torpiki, or Smithies? I own all three of those guys as it stands, and Morgan Smithies. Just sounds like Ricky loves him. They love him down at the Raiders. Should get pretty decent minutes by the sounds of things. Hopefully sort of 60-plus. He'll get through a ton of work. I just like him. Chan, there'll be a question mark over minutes. Torpiki, I like, but looking at his scores from last season, there could easily be some 30s in there. I'm sort of hoping Smithies can knock out that rock-solid 50-odd points for us, potentially a few more. Question from Adrian. Upgrade Hutchinson to Kiraz at the expense of Cleary to Moses. I would not do that, mate. I can see the appeal in it. I'm just pretty hard in the camp of Cleary and Hines to start the season. So, the Kiraz-Moses combination, it looks really good, but I'm just not overthinking it. I'm going Cleary and Hines. Question from Adam. Who is in your sit fee start for the week? So I've updated my team reveal on the SC Playbook website, so go and check that out. It is a subscriber-only yarn. It's pretty well set in cement. I just have one decision that I need to make. Basically, I freed up some cash, and I reckon there'll be a question on him any minute, so I'm going to wait for that to talk about that. But I've managed to get two of us a check into my team. But it's happened at the expense of Hutchison. So I'm not against getting rid of Roger and getting Hutchison back in to spend that 200-odd K elsewhere. But as it stands, my sit V starts for this week. I benched Jesse Arthurs for his 60, which is, a bit annoying, but over in Vegas, he was on the left wing, unfortunately not on the better right edge of the Broncos. I was happy enough to sit him. So my CT dubs that stands is Tabu Aifido, Roger, Benjamin Vojvic, I played, and Taylan May. I've sat Arthurs, Bostock, and Torpiki on the bench. My bench was, Trbojevic, Nico Hines. I've played Smithies and I've played Bo Furmore, not playing Joe Chan, Hughes, Payoso Farmacilli, or Danny Levi. So not a lot of difficult decisions on my end. Potentially maybe just that fourth CT dub slot. Question from Matthew Arundel. Appy, Smithies, Bostock, or Grant, Chan, and Nuff? Mate, you lost me at Nuff. Go option A. Next question from Samuel. Do you prefer Mariota or Farmacilli as a front row forward for? Oh boy, this was one I'm grappling with as well, mate. And it's just a guessing game, isn't it? We don't know how many minutes either of them are going to get. And the uncertainty at the Raiders of A, how is Morgan Smithies going to go as a middle? B, when Corey Horsburgh comes back, how many minutes is he going to get? C, Josh Papali'i is at the back end of his career. How many minutes does he play these days? Does he reduce a little bit? He often starts the season in lesser minutes, but he looks really fit in the trials. Farmacilli is a starting front rower in a club with lacking middles. He's a little bit cheaper. I think he's about 17K cheaper. So I currently have Farmacilli. I think Mariota is definitely the better footballer. And I'm like, you know, if it was the other way around and Mariota was at the Doggies and Farmacilli was at the Raiders, I'd be, and even if Farmacilli was starting, I'd be going Mariota every day of the week. So look, I've got Farmacilli at the moment. Look, and if the benches or like starting positions don't change for either club, I'll probably stick with that. If you can change in Mariota's favour a little bit, let's say starts, I'm pretty tempted. But honestly, I think if we're looking at it realistically, it's a bit of a coin flip. I suppose the one thing is in 2 weeks' time, once we see minutes and all different sorts of things, if you get the wrong one and the other one's getting a ton of minutes, it's an easy swap across trade-wise. Question from Josh. Who would you take as his final CT dub cheapie? Savage, Salmon, Kotrick or Flanagan? Bracket via Strange Jewels. Thanks, mate. I don't love any of them. I would probably lean towards Savage. His job security isn't good, but I think it's okay. Apparently he's blitzed the preseason. Ricky seems pretty happy with him at the moment. Kotrick, I question his job security. Salmon, said a few times during the week, like Salmon could be the just blatantly obvious pick there. 313K, dual CT dub, 2RF, starting lock for the Bulldogs in the club, lacking middles. But they've also picked a four middle forward bench. You know, there's every chance that if not this week, maybe next week or round three, Kurt Mann or more so Josh Curran are starting at 13 and you've just got this plodder on your bench. Even if he does get 60 minutes, if he can get 60 minutes, he'll make some cash and he'll be all right. I just think he's been put in there as a distributing lock, a ball passing lock, to be that link between, you know, Hutchinson, Burton, Marnie, et cetera, et cetera. And he looked good doing it in the trials, to his credit. I just don't think he's going to be having that many runs. He'll make a decent amount of tackles, I suppose, but I just don't particularly like any of them. So I would say Savage, but not confidently. Next question from Matt. Hope all is well and ready for the season kickoff again. So excited, mate. I've got 700K to splash on a centre wing and already have RTS. Outside of Hammer, who do you think? All right, if I scroll through the 700K down and I'm looking at the best value, if it were me, I reckon Jacob Kiraz. I don't love that he's going to be playing centre. Much prefer him on the wing. Look, I've rattled on, and certainly the Spy definitely has, rattled on about his numbers last season before getting injured. I think it was like an 80-point average in six games to start last year with only like three tries as his major attacking stats. So in a small sample size at centre, he also scored massively with great base power stats. So I think Kiraz is probably the one in that sort of price bracket. It'll also give you that, you know, 100K left in the bank to do as you please. I like the Kiraz play. I'm starting with Hammer as my premium CT dub. And if he falls flat on his butt and Kiraz kills it, a nice, easy little swap over in round probably three, that'd be. Next question coming from Reese. Morning, mate. If Bloor is a late inclusion for Joe Chan, what's the plan? McDonald was named in Queensland Cup, so maybe Joe goes to the bench for Bloor. Yeah, look, it'd throw a real spanner in the works, wouldn't it? There'd be a few options, and so many things can change between now and then. If Bloor does start, Bloor himself becomes an option. I've currently got, I'd have to tweak a few things, and it'd Warriors play the game beforehand. So it's the fifth game of the round, the Storm versus Panthers, so only three to play after that. Not ideal, but also not too late. Look, it's different for everyone. I could probably tweak a few things to maybe get a Josh Curran. Doggies play Saturday 5:30. So, like, there's an option there for Curran. Again, if it's a four middle four bench, I'm not keen on Curran. As I said, Bloor himself becomes an option if he becomes a starting back rower there. We'll deal with that hurdle when we get to it because it'd force a lot of changes around if that is to play out that way. Question from Tom. What are your thoughts on Luke Metcalf? With the lack of cheapies that I want to play, I'm thinking of dropping Brown, for which means I can have Kiraz, Holmes, and Taylan May in my centre wing. Oof, strong centre wing. I've done, not as strong as that, no way, but similar in the sense of going a bit cheaper at 5'8", and then I've bolstered my CT up a little bit as a result of that and a couple of other things. Metcalf, I will not be buying him. Outside of Dylan Brown, 5'8's just terrible. Like even Cameron Munster might be ruled out this weekend. The mid-range options there are so poor. So while I say I'm not that keen on Metcalf, mainly because Sean Johnson's just so dominant when it comes to attacking territory. They just go to his right side so often. Metcalf, you know, gets some decent points, support playing, scoring tries, that sort of stuff, but I just don't think he gets enough quality attacking ball. But if I've got Braden Trindle at 5'8 at the moment, I'm not sold on him either, and they're at a similar price bracket. Metcalf is in what looks to be a very good Warriors side this season, so yeah, not on my radar as such, but you know, he's no major site sort of worse than any of the other mid-range 5'8s that people are throwing up. Question from Dave, Lane or Curran? There's risk with both, can't decide. Oh, look, for me, you've got Sean Lane, who's been a proven gun in Supercoach as recently as 2 years ago before injury. He should play anywhere from 60 to 80 minutes. He's starting. And then you've got Curran, who's been in and out of Warriors sides for a few years. At a doggy side, sure, lacking middles, but as it stands, he's been named on the bench. So it's got to be Lane, doesn't it? Question from Nicholas Beliris. Cheers for another questions podcast legend. My pleasure, mate. Do you think if confident that Sam Hughes will still play 35 odd minutes, that it's viable to run Adam Fanua Blake and him as your two starting front rows until first price changes? Do you think it's safe to assume Hughes will get those minutes? I don't think it's safe to assume that, no. Four middle forward bench at the Doggies. I've said it a few times. Just listening to sort of Adam DeRussi, now Doggies chairman, speak on the Playbook podcast, watching Gus Gould tweet away on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it. It just sounds like everyone's so high on Hughes and his potential, but they keep alluding back to the fact that he's got a grand total of about 70 minutes NRL experience. So it doesn't sound like anyone's expecting him to rush into big minutes. Maybe he does play 35. I don't know, but even if he plays 35 minutes, it could still be 25, 30 points. You'd hope for a few more, but we don't know. I think to get to the bottom of it, no, I wouldn't be confident playing him as my second front row for a few weeks alongside AFB. I'd be looking at trying to get maybe one of those mid-rangers in that have caught the eye. Question from Jag. If you can afford it, is Brown worth the money at the start of the season? Do you think there will be a gap between his scores to the rest of the field to justify the money spent? Yes, I think he will be worth the money. However, with so many guns in our team, namely across the spine, it's a position that I am happy to risk, especially, you know, Mitch Moses is also very dominant in that side. What Parramatta Eels outfit are we going to see? I am saving money there and going the cheaper option in Trindle, and I hope at a massive, massive price difference between the pair. I mean, what have we got? Is Brown like 780K or something? 780K and Trindle's 439. It's a huge price difference. I'm hoping Trindle can get within, you know, 10 to 15 of him and score well enough in the meantime. And two of my priority trade targets that I've got planned are my hooker in round 5, possibly 6, to Harry Grant. And probably even before that, Braden Trindle to Dylan Brown at a similar sort of time. The Sharks have the buy in round 5. So around 5, Trindle to Brown is, yeah, certainly in my plans at this stage. Question from Jared Mitchell. How do you see Newcastle's rotation unfolding? Are we sleeping on Adam Elliott? I've had a lot of questions about Adam Elliott. And look, love the bloke. Gun footballer. He averaged 53 minutes last season. Can find an injury as well, poor old Adzi. Look, the bench bodes pretty well for him. I'll give you that. I'm not keen on him due to having averaged pretty decent minutes last season. You know, Leo Thompson, Jacob Saifidi, probably not huge minutes between them. So you look at Cogger, who's going to spell Phoenix Crossland at number 9, we'd imagine. Saifidi, Hetherington, you've got two middles there, and Kai Pearce-Paul, who I suppose comes on that left edge for Dylan Lucas. Now, when this happens, does Dylan Lucas spend some time in the middle? Potentially, does Tyson Frizzell spend some time in the middle? I just want to see, like, based on his minutes last year, Adams, you'd need him to be getting 60-plus. Maybe he does. But at an awkwardish sort of price at 517K, it's not too bad, but I like other options. If he was for some stupid reason available at dual 2RF front row forward, and we can get him at front row forward, absolutely, but nah, not for me. Guys, with footy season back on deck this season, properly, at least the rest of round 1 kicking off tonight, we're going to be getting back into our same game multis. We all know that. Getting a bit excited, the chance to win a bit of cash, throw a few first try scorer bets on But with that is going to come some issues for a lot of people and a few probably punting demons that may have struggled with their punting in the past or, you know, at certain points this season, there's going to be people out there, I should say, that are doing it a little bit tough and punting a little bit too much and outside of their means. If this is you, if it has been you in the past, if you're a little bit worried about your punting at the moment, there's help available with Gareth White and his team at Seacale. Do yourself a favour, reach out to Gareth and his team. It is completely free. It's completely confidential. It does take a brave step to do it, but I know that a lot of people that have been referred via SC Playbook and this podcast have reached out to Gareth and said they wish they did it 6 months earlier because it would have taken a lot of stress off their shoulders and helped their bank account a lot. So to do so, guys, you can email Gareth at gareth.w@seacale.org.au. That's Seacale, C-E-C-A-L. You can call him on 02-9559-4013 or on Instagram, probably the easiest way if you have that. Just direct message him at Seacale Gambling. Worth the effort, guys. Legend of a fella. Loves his super coach. Has a great team there. You probably end up talking footy for 45 minutes and punting for 5 minutes. So get in touch with him today. Apologies if you can hear that bipping in the background. It is coming from the hallway and it's certainly doing my head in, so hopefully you can't hear it. Question from Braden Dilly. Pick two out of Hutchinson, Bostock and Torpeaky as bench seated up, please. I'd pretty happily go Hutchinson and Torpeaky there. Bostock as a cheapie who I wasn't keen on at the start of the preseason. The longer it goes, at 314K, I actually don't mind the pick. He looked really good in the trials. He's beaten out essentially Jake Avarillo for a starting spot in that team. Just looks like he's grown into himself a year older now, full preseason behind him. Looks the good, so I'm hoping he can get some sort of decent base into him this year, as he continues to develop. That being said, I will not be confident playing in my CT dub anytime soon until I see those base stats rock up. So he'll probably just be there as a cash cow with a bit of luck for me for now. All right, finally, onto the hookers. I can't believe it took this on to get a genuine hooker question. I mean, there was the Brayley question, but Denholm Botting, is Levi a trap? What do you see him making? Who would be your top three cheapy hookers? So on the podcast earlier in the week, I was not overly keen on Levi. He's currently made his way into my team. He is the definition of the best of a bad lot, I think. 238K. There are just no good number nines that we can really go with, is there? So Levi's 239. We didn't get the sole hooker at the Eels, which would have solved so many headaches. I'm expecting Levi to get maybe 50 minutes. Like, it could be anywhere literally from 30 to 60 with Ricky Stewart. Who knows? I think he gets 50. So, look, just at the price, more than anything, hopefully we earn some cash off him, and realistically we may not, but at least it frees up cash to spend elsewhere in your squad. So he looks the best of a bad lot if you want to go down that cheapy hooker route to me, just because, you know, Lassie could start and play 25 minutes, then Hands comes on. We just don't know. As for my starting hooker, hate to say it, but the Spy, I think, has talked me into Reece Robson. Lots of reasons for that. Reece Robson at 561K, who hadn't been in my preseason. In my preseason team, I've actually gone through at number nine. Started with Marshall King. I moved to Harry. I went down to Coruscant when he started kicking goals. I've landed on Reece Robson. The reason being is that, first and foremost, all those blokes I just mentioned, they all have buys within that first 4 to 5 rounds. Because we didn't get an even semi-decent cheapy hooker, it means we have to play that player at some stage, which is fine. Like, it's only 1 week and it's not the end of the world to, you know, drop 20 or 30 points by having a poor hooker. That's okay. I've said before, don't tear apart your plans because of it. But because of that reason, it's forced me into looking into the number nines a little bit more in depth. And I look at Robson. I sat here 12 months ago and I said, everyone was really keen on him. I'm like, he's not going to score 10 or 11 tries again, whatever he did that year. And he had a ton of try assists and he averaged 64 points. He's overpriced to start the year. Well, 12 months on, he's now a New South Wales Origin player. He, for now, is an 80-minute hooker. Granville's on the bench, so we don't know if he plays 60 or 65 or 80. but Granville was also on the bench all last year. So there's no reason to suggest why he can't be an 80-minute or won't be an 80-minute hooker again, but he's priced on a 55-point average because last year he had bugger all attacking stats. He had two tries. He had, I believe, it was about four or five try assists, and he played 23 games. I rate him as a footballer. I think he's a great footballer. I think he's got a good running game. More importantly, the Cowboys were terrible last year. They came home a little bit late on, but they were terrible. I think they're in for a big year. I think it's a great team. I think off the back of it, Robson can get more attacking stats. I only want him to play for four or five rounds, and then I want him to become Harry Grant anyway. In that meantime, Grant has Penrith round one, and then he has a bye in round four. So I just want Robson to score all right and be the better value play for about four or five rounds, then move him on to Harry as soon as I can. So that's the way I'm looking at it. That being said, I have chopped and changed between those blokes I just mentioned, so no knocks on any.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Question from Hayden Moore. Morning, mate. Got a little conundrum. What do you think is the better option? Taumalolo and Hutchinson, or Cotter and Salmon? Let's talk about the front rowers at the Cowboys. I won't spend too much time on it because I have spoken a fair bit about them on podcast this week. I like Cotter and I like Taumalolo. I just think something is going to have to change a little bit for Todd Payton and his plans. He sort of, it's almost like he was making a statement against Taumalolo the last 2 years and playing him lesser minutes and using him in a different role. It was all a bit weird, and it was public there for a bit, so it's not as if it's entirely speculating. But Cohen Hess averaged 55 minutes for them last year, 55. He's gone for long term. Luciano Leilua has signed with the Dragons. Their bench, I do not know how they're going to inject Jake Granville, if not at hooker. Probably just comes on as another roaming middle, obviously extremely versatile and can play anywhere. Griffin Neame will spend decent time off the bench in the middle. McIntyre will get a bit of time, and Fini Fuiaki probably gets 20 minutes on Lukey's edge but can also spend time in the middle. No matter which way you look at it, though, because Jordan McLean's not going to play big minutes, I just think Taumalolo can increase his 49 minutes to hopefully 55, potentially more, but, you know, realistically probably 55. So Cotter's a bit more expensive. He's definitely getting more minutes this year, the way I see it. With that team listed, I think he has to get more minutes. So I think he's a great buy. Taumalolo's a bit more speculative in that, you know, he didn't exactly set the world alight in the trial, but just at the price, he's so cheap. We know he can bust tackles. We know he can offload, and we know he can score tries and set them up. So I just love the upside there. He's front row forward available this year. Wouldn't be touching him at second row, but in a tough front row forward spot, I'm going Taumalolo, not with supreme confidence, but I'm hoping the big fella can do some good for me this season. Question from Mitchie. Good morning, fella. Morning, mate. Last reserve, do I run Smithies or Salmon? And also, should I sell Salmon and bring Hutchinson into my CT dubs? I would run Smithies over Salmon, and I would also pick Hutchinson over Salmon. I just think Hutchinson, look, there's job security issues with Toby Sexton looming, sure, but you know, I'd argue there's even more job security over Salmon with Kurt Mann and Josh Curran, who, you know, Salmon will be there in some regard, but it could easily be a 20-minute bench role. So I prefer Hutchinson because at least when he is in that team, he's playing 80 minutes. So I like Hutchinson. Next question from Riley. Tossing up between Laybutt and Cotter or Hutchinson and King? Second option allows Lenu to Terrell May next week in one trade. You've nailed it for me there in part two. Look, if I was just going on the two options, I would lean towards Cotter and Laybutt. In fact, I definitely would. I quite like that. But I think there's good money to be made in Hutchinson. Maxi King could be the one we're sleeping on. We talk about all these doggies middles and lack of quality, lack of depth. Max King is quality. He'll get good minutes and should score well. But the fact that you can go Lenu to Terrell May next week in one trade, I think that's huge. That's something that I'm just trying to free up about another 10, 15 odd K in my cap for my final team to make sure I can get to Terrell May next week. So I've currently got Keenan Palacia. I'm not overly confident on him, to be honest, but look, I'm almost resigned to the fact that Terrell May is the best pick in mid-range front row forward. I know Jared Roy Hargreaves is to come back. Different things can happen. There are a few injuries last week in the back row. He just looks the goods. He really does. So if Palacia kills it this week and gets good minutes, I'll find another avenue to May, probably round three or round two, whatever it might be. But realistically, I'm thinking I'm going Palacia if he ends up being my second front row forward slot this week to Terrell May. So, yeah, I like the second option there for you. Question from Anthony Harris, Torpicky or Bostock? I'd go Bostock. I think Torpicky scores better, but his time in the team is, what, three rounds until Charles Nicol-Klukstad comes back in at fullback, then Torpicky drops out. Bostock, for now, has better job security, a little bit more expensive, but I like Bostock. That being said, yeah, if I had both of – I do have both of them at the moment, I would be playing Torpicky over Bostock. A lot of questions around Chan being a trap. And it's because the people are saying because Nelson was soft Solomona to come back next week. I'm not convinced that it's going to impact whoever that edge back row is. I think Chan may end up being a trap because of Sean Blore and or Kane Bradley. And if either of them two comes in and takes his spot, Nass doesn't worry me that much. They've got Kamen Kamitha and King front row and Loyero is their 13. I can't see Loyero getting massive minutes there. And I just think Nass comes back in, is in the middle rotation. I know he spent time on the edge, but that's been almost out of necessity at times. I think last year, maybe when Eli Katoa was out injured. This year, they've got a few back rowers. And I look at the bench and go, Alec McDonald, Chris Lewis, and then Christian Welch. Like, spare me. Like, Nass needs to play in the middle for this team. They don't need him as an edge. He also doesn't play big minutes. He's like a 45, 50-minute player under Craig Bellamy. So, look, the way I see it, could easily be wrong, but I think Nass comes back in as a middle. I don't think the edge is affected. I think if Chan is a trap, it's because one of those two aforementioned players comes in and starts on the edge. I don't think Nass is the concern for me with Joe Chan. Question from Todd G. Toddy asks, is it wild to go two cheap hookers? If it means I can go higher upside in the CTW and get Marju in, sort out hooker in coming weeks after buys, etc. Mate, I think, like, let's say you're thinking Lussick and Levi, you could just easily have a 30-point plotter there. And the issue is, look, you can use two trades and generate cash elsewhere and then upgrade one of them to a gun, but, you know, you're trying to find 3, 4, 500K to get one of these guys up to a gun hooker that you want. It's not easy to do without tearing your side apart. I just feel like if you go with a, you know, 400, 500, there's a lot of 500K hookers that look appealing enough if you're looking to save a bit of money elsewhere, that if you get them wrong, you'll be able to, one of Appy, Robson, Marshall King, Brayley, one of these guys is going to go well. If the one you pick goes wrong, it's an easy move to them, and you should, like, hooker isn't an elite position these days outside of probably Harry Grant, but it's still a rock solid 60-point averaging position for me as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, in Levi or Lussick, you could have a 30-point averaging hooker, 30 points each round, that can add up quickly. Look, if we knew one of these cheapies was going to get 60 minutes and score pretty well, sure, you could get away with it, but I'm not convinced on any of them. So I think you need to pick one half-decent player there. Question from Brendan asking, thoughts on the Spies move in bringing Lachlan Galvin into 5'8 and moving Strange to CTW to free up cash? Contemplating this myself so I can upgrade Hutchinson to the Hammer as my third CTW. So the Spy dropped his thoughts in the contributor-only thread in the WhatsApp group. Oh, I don't like it. Like, I keep saying it, and I tore Guru a new one about his plan enough at hooker. Galvin's like 18. He looks awesome, but there's every chance he doesn't play. He could get picked next week. It might be a starting 5'8", in which case, congratulations, masterstroke. Could be on the bench where he might play about 15 minutes as they ease him in, becomes an auto-emergency nightmare, or he might not play at all, which is probably the most likely scenario with Lachlan Galvin. I might be wrong, but that's the way I see it. if he's not playing or if he's off the bench playing 15 minutes, what if he's 5'8", goes down injured? What if he gets a HIA and misses 1 week? What if he gets a suspension for 1 week and you're forced to play Galvin for his 15 minutes or not have a 5'8 there at all? It just seems like unnecessarily playing with fire to me, and I don't really see why people do it. I think people get caught up in this mindset of freeing up a ton of cash and it makes their starting 17 look great. Woohoo, happy days, everyone's excited because you get a good score in round one. But you just leave yourself so vulnerable when injuries and everything occurs, and at the same time you're not generating any cash. I don't see why people keep doing it. Again, if someone's got news that Galvin's going to start at 5'8 or play off the bench and get 30, 40 minutes, sweet. But that Tigers round one bye leaves a lot to be desired, so I will be avoiding that idea. All righty, last question we will speak about today. Sorry, I couldn't get through all of them, but a lot coming in from Michael Campton. Thoughts on Ray Stone as a hooker? The dual position allows for the flexibility of Stone or for a mid-range 2RF to easily stepping stone to Grant. Don't know if that was intentional, but I like what you've done there. Again, a lot of Ray Stone hype that I'm not seeing. Like, as the team's been named, Kenny Bromwich, who's a big minute player for them, has been moved to the bench to accommodate Koneli Lemuelu on the edge. Stone starts at 421K, which is, you know, affordable enough, but he averaged 49 minutes per game last season. Like, how many more minutes than that is he going to get in this side that has a lot of middle forward depth? Like, they've picked a side that Gilbert's gone for the season, but Ewan Aitken and Jared Wallace both not on the bench. Kerr, Plath, Bromwich and Nichols, you've got four middle forwards there. How is Ray Stone going to play more than 50 minutes? Tom Flegler's going to get 45 to 50 minutes minimum. Bromwich might get his 40 to 45. I don't really see it in Stone. I'd be avoiding. Guys, I will wrap that up for this week's question and answer podcast. A few things to get through before tonight's kickoff, including the final touches on my team. As I said, it's on the SC Playbook website, scplaybook.com.au. Good luck this weekend to all, and up those mighty Raiders tonight. Cheers, guys.